Well, this morning, as we transition from Daniel 4 to Daniel 5, we also transition from King Nebuchadnezzar to his son, King Belshazzar. And it gives us the opportunity to hear the preaching of God's Word regarding what we might think to be an unexpected lesson or message from the book of Daniel, and that is the lesson or message regarding Christian parenting. Once again, the lesson is in the negative, which is to say we must learn to do what Nebuchadnezzar didn't, and we must learn to be what Nebuchadnezzar wasn't. In the simplest terms, it would appear that Nebuchadnezzar was not a good parent toward his son Belshazzar, nor was Belshazzar a responsible son with regard to the things he ought to have learned from his father. However, this will not be a message from God's Word only for parents, because there is a sense in which we are all parents. Whether or not we are biological parents to one or more children, we are all spiritual parents in relationship to the covenant children of the church. And here is an important lesson from God's Word. Here is a crucial correction that is much needed in our day, because the world around us will often teach us that children are not that important. Why do people have children in our day? It would seem to me that too often people have children simply as a means of their own self-fulfillment, simply as a means of rounding out their lives with meaningful existence and experience. It's not quite a hobby, I suppose, but sometimes it seems that having children is but little more than a hobby, at best a pastime or a spare time endeavor. However, God's Word gives us a much different perspective on parenting. In Scripture, parenting and the church's care for her covenant children is far more of the main thing, much more of the main purpose of our existence. Parenting may not be the only purpose we have, and it may not be the highest purpose, which is, of course, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. But if we take the perspective of God made clear in His Word, then we need to see our children and our responsibility toward them as the main thing, the reason why God has given children to us, the purpose for which we rise each morning to live within this world. There was a day in the life and ministry of Jesus when Jesus had called a child to come and stand before Him and His disciples. And among other things, Jesus said this about this child, recorded as we've heard in Matthew 18, verse 10. "See that you do not despise one of these little ones." Let me say that again. "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I see that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." And Jesus then proceeded to tell the parable of the lost sheep and the one in 99 whom the shepherd set out to seek and to save. And the interesting thing is that Jesus didn't tell this parable explicitly about a lost sinner within this world, but rather explicitly about the church's covenant children. In other words, the context of his teaching in Matthew 18 is not evangelism, but parenthood. And just a short time later, recorded in Matthew 19, we hear the familiar words of Jesus regarding children: "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." So as we look at Daniel 5 this morning, let this be a first point, a conspicuous ignorance, And my reference here is to the fact that clearly King Belshazzar did not have the first idea who Daniel was. When Belshazzar had thrown this great party, and a ghostly hand had appeared to write upon the wall of his palace, who did he call for help? Verse 7 says, the king called loudly to bring in the enchanters, the Chaldeans, and the astrologers. And when they were not able to read the writing or make known the interpretation, King Belshazzar still did not think of Daniel, but became all the more alarmed and terrified. And it wasn't until the queen, presumably his wife, although it may be a reference to his mother, in other words, the queen mother, as they say, but it wasn't until the queen spoke up that Belshazzar was made aware of Daniel and the history of his ability to interpret dreams and visions. She said, starting in verse 10, O king, live forever. Let not your thoughts alarm you or your color change. There is a man in your kingdom. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods in the days of your father. Light and understanding and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, made him chief of the magicians because an excellent spirit, knowledge, and understanding to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve problems were found in this Daniel. Doesn't that strike you? And the question then is this, how is that possible? How is it possible that King Belshazzar had to be told at this late date, which turns out even to be the last day of his life, who Daniel was? Why hadn't Daniel even been appointed to be his tutor, such that Daniel would have been the first person that King Belshazzar turned to? You would think, would you not, that Nebuchadnezzar would have found in Daniel the man to teach his son. Nebuchadnezzar had learned through his first dream, you recall, recorded in Daniel 2, and also through his second dream, recorded in Daniel 4, he had learned that Daniel was a wise man. Nebuchadnezzar had even praised Daniel as a man of great wisdom and skill. And yet it would seem that he never even introduced Daniel to his son Belshazzar. Neither did he appoint Daniel to be his son's tutor, that his son might benefit from the learning of this great man within his kingdom. Why? Well, we aren't told explicitly, but as Scripture interprets Scripture, we might surmise that King Nebuchadnezzar had the same view of children that the disciples had in Matthew 19. As Jesus was teaching, we are told that children were brought to him that he might lay his hand on them and pray. And the disciples were taking it upon themselves to do crowd control, and they did their best to send these parents and their children away. Matthew records that they rebuked the people, but as a result, Jesus rebuked them. And he said, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And it says, he laid his hands on them and went away. So of what importance are children? The disciples thought they were helping Jesus because Jesus was teaching the people and working at gathering more followers to serve their cause. The problem was that the children were their cause. They saw the children as a distraction to Jesus, while Jesus saw the children as the very ones that he had come to seek and to save, like the lost sheep among the 99 that were already found. And is this not a temptation that we face in our own day? Of what importance are children? The world doesn't think much of them except as a project of self-fulfillment or simply as a byproduct of sexual pleasure. Children cannot contribute much to the finances of the church or to the prestige of the church or to the overall advance of the church. In the home, children cannot contribute to our success in our careers. At best, they're a distraction from our careers, and we might be tempted to throw our leftovers to our children. Our leftover time, our leftover energy, our leftover resources. But that's not why God gave us children. To start with, we need to see it that way. God has given us these children. We are stewards, even of our children, and He's given us these children to care for them, not just physically, but also, and even more to the ultimate point, to care for them spiritually. It strikes me that the parents in Matthew 19 were doing the very thing that King Nebuchadnezzar failed to do. They were bringing their children to Jesus. They wanted their children to know Jesus. They wanted their children to be blessed by Jesus. And they might have thought just to bless them financially by working hard and making lots of money. Instead, they took the time to bring their children to Jesus. Nebuchadnezzar, it would seem, was too busy ruling his kingdom to introduce his son to Daniel. But the parents in Matthew 19 brought their children to Jesus. And Jesus even said, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And isn't this an accurate and helpful statement of a parent's whole purpose? To bring their children to Jesus. Parents, why has God given you children? Why has God entrusted children to the church? The answer is that we might bring them to Jesus, that we might teach them and have them taught who Jesus is. And so I ask you, parents, are you doing that? Do you sit down with your children in one form or another? And do you tell them who Jesus is? Do you teach your children the Word of God? If we truly believe the Word of God, if we truly are those who are following Christ throughout our lives, then how can we neglect to bring our children to Jesus? We haven't touched on it for several sermons now in this series on Daniel. It's been a while, but there is some debate among commentators as to whether Nebuchadnezzar was truly a believer. It would seem that his brush with insanity had a profound effect upon Nebuchadnezzar. He went from praising himself to praising the God of Daniel when he was delivered from insanity and restored to his position. So he seemed to have some faith, we might say. He seemed to have a faith, but was it saving faith? And here it would seem in support of the argument that he was not a believer because he did not teach his son Belshazzar who Daniel was. And what about us? What might it say about us if we do not do all in our power to make sure that our children are introduced to Jesus? Can we claim to be true believers in Christ when the Word of God does not have a central and dominant place in our homes? Let us not say, "I don't have time," or "that's just not my thing," because that would kind of be like a doctor saying, I don't have time to practice medicine. Or like a lawyer saying, I'm not all that interested in law. If we are parents, if we are the church, then here is our purpose. This is what a parent is. This is what the church does by the design of God Himself, by way of His calling. We must bring our children to Jesus. And if we need some further motivation, then let us keep in mind that Belshazzar's ignorance was a deadly ignorance. Here's a second point, a deadly ignorance. Even though he finally met him only on the day of his death. The wisdom of Daniel never benefited him. The only thing Daniel ever taught Belshazzar was that he was about to die. In verse 26, Daniel said to Belshazzar, "This is the interpretation of the matter, Mene. God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians." And verse 30 records, "That very night Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was killed. And Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old." So here's the thing to remember, that we're not playing games here. We're not here each and every Lord's Day to play church, like children playing house in the treehouse or the clubhouse in the backyard. And neither are we just trying to perpetuate a tradition. This is not a fraternity or a sorority, and we just want our children to be legacies following in their parents' traditional footsteps. And we're not just to keep our children out of trouble. Understand, our children are in trouble now. Because as Psalm 51 teaches, surely they were brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did their parents conceive them. Our children are sinners. And they need a Savior just as much as we do. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment." And that's true of our children as well. So it's not just a nice thing to bring your children to Jesus. It's a necessary thing. It's an essential thing that our children will know who Jesus is and put their faith in Him. And so it is that this very passage, Daniel 5, might be used to talk to our children about their need for Christ. As parents, we might sit them down and say, "Now listen, the message that God gave to Belshazzar is a message for you as well. Mene, mene, tekel, parson. Mene, God has numbered the days of your life." Psalm 139 says, "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." We need to teach our children about death. Instead of just talking about somebody passing away, we need to teach our children that people die, and they're going to die too one day. And we need to be courageous enough to talk to our children about their death. And it should be our faith in Christ that gives us that courage. Because we don't have to talk about death only with fear, but with hope, in order to bring our children to the one who said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." So mene, God has numbered the days of your life. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. That's a message for us and our children as well. We are all found wanting as we are weighed in the balances of God. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And finally, Perez, "Your kingdom is divided and given to someone else." For us, that means that death is the end of our enjoyment of any portion of God's blessings. In other words, death comes by the judgment of God for sin, and death leads to hell. You see, you can't claim to believe in Christ as your Savior and then deny the thing that He saved you from. And what sense does it make to claim to believe that Christ saves us from the judgment of God if we don't then teach our children about that judgment? Mene, mene, tekel, parson. It's a message for us and for our children as well. Don't get hung up on the words. I'm not even sure whether I'm pronouncing them correctly. Regardless, the message is here. It's essential teaching for our children. And we as parents, we as members of the church are called to teach it to our children. Finally, this third point, a culpable ignorance. A culpable ignorance. Culpable. That means that it's something that we can be blamed for. And the point is to see that the one who is ignorant can also be blamed for their ignorance. When someone lacks knowledge, the blame may fall, at least in part, to the one who failed to teach. But in this case, the blame also falls to the one who lacks knowledge. Look at Daniel 5, verse 22. It says, "And you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, though you knew all this. But you have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven." So Belshazzar may not have known Daniel. He may not have known the one true God whom Daniel served. But he did know what had happened to his father, Nebuchadnezzar. And that left him culpable for his ignorance and pride. So here the application is for the children and young people. Your parents and your church have the responsibility to teach you, but you also have the responsibility to learn. In fact, if your parents aren't teaching you or aren't teaching you enough, then you ought to go to them and say, "Mom, Dad, I want to learn. I want you to teach me. I want to learn from your mistakes and from your experiences." And that's ultimately the whole idea of parenting, that those who have more experience should then turn and share their acquired experience and wisdom with their children. Even more, you children and young people should come to church eager to learn. Each week the sermon is for you too. And you may not always understand everything, but each sermon should be a step forward, however small that step might be, a step forward in your pursuit of knowledge. And I really mean that. Are you pursuing knowledge? Psalm 119 says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word." That's active language. Are you guarding your way according to God's word? "With my whole heart I seek you," says the psalmist. "Let me not wander from your commandments." So there's your curriculum and the attitude that you should bring to it. The curriculum is the word of God. And your attitude must be to seek it with your whole heart, even as you pray that God would keep you in His Word. Proverbs 2 says, "If you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." And the thing to remember is that in the end, you are just as responsible as your parents are. You won't be able to say, but my parents didn't teach me. King Belshazzar should have known not to exalt himself. He should have known by way of the experience of his father, King Nebuchadnezzar. And he was culpable for his ignorance. Perhaps you will be even more culpable, because God has placed you in a Christian home. Don't fail to see what a blessing that is to be born and raised in a Christian home. It doesn't make you a Christian automatically, because you still need to learn the teachings of God's Word to know and trust in Christ. But you're right where you need to be. What a blessing that God has placed you right where you need to be, in a Christian home, in order to do that, in order to know Christ, in order to trust Him. You're in a home and in a church where you have many opportunities to study and learn the Word of God. So don't neglect those opportunities. Make the most of those opportunities. The older you get, take it more and more upon yourself. Take it as your responsibility to learn the teachings of God's Word. Well, next week we're going to make a second run at Daniel chapter 5. There's much more here that needs to be dealt with. We had 3 sermons, right, on Daniel 4. We'll likely have 2, I believe, on Daniel chapter 5. But here's a message that must not be missed, that we would recognize our responsibility, both as parents and as children, as young people within the church. Let's pray and ask God's blessing. Father in heaven, we thank you for our children. We thank you for placing them right where they need to be so that they can hear and learn and know who Christ is, and to come to a saving understanding of your plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, we marvel that Nebuchadnezzar never would have introduced Daniel to Belshazzar, or vice versa. Oh Lord, we marvel at it, and yet we know our own weakness as well, how easy it is to get distracted, how easy it is to chase after wealth and prestige, how easy it is to focus on things that are important but not as important as these main things, the purpose for our families and for placing children where they are in Christian homes. So give us instruction, give us courage to turn away from the wrong ways of the world, even though it may bring derision, mockery from others, even though it may cost us in our careers. Help us to have the courage to walk that narrow way that that we have marked out for us in your word. We pray that you will bless our families, bless husbands and wives to be one in Christ. We pray that you will bless the relationship between parents and children, that good catechesis, good instruction might happen in the home. We pray indeed, O Lord, that you would fill our children with your Spirit, that they might be open and receptive to your word and to the gospel, and they would repent and believe in Jesus Christ. We pray, O Lord, your blessing, and we seek it in Christ's name. In his name and for his sake do we pray. Amen.